if some devotees who are in good standing suddenly do something which is it's very bad, not just from spiritual but even social perspective. And why does this happen? What was lacking? And how can we help them? Actually, we all have certain karma to be exhausted. Just like sometimes somebody may fall sick. Normally we think about karma in terms of external things that happen to us. You know, somebody may fall sick, somebody may lose a job, somebody may lose a relative, loved one. You think these are karmic reactions. Yes, these are karmic reactions. But karmic reactions can come internally also in the form of distorted desires. You know, say when a person becomes alcoholic, the consequences are twofold. One is the health gets spoiled, but internally, the desire for alcoholism also becomes strong. So similarly, you know, we all can go through phases when the desires shoot up. So it's not that there's necessarily anything lacking in the process of in our practice of bhakti. It's just that that is a phase when some karma is karmic reactions are coming to us in the form of aggravated internal desires. So the way to do this is tam sthitiksha swabhavata. Just as when distress comes, if we just overreact to that distress, we may do something which compounds the problem. Just tolerate it, it goes away. So like that, sometimes desires just come and they come so sometimes they just come so forcefully that person just gets overwhelmed. Now if they are in close devotee association and some devotee may be able to help them. But the major problem that happens is if we become a successful devotee, then there is a certain image that we want to maintain. And because of wanting to maintain that image, we don't tell our inner struggles. Because we feel, oh, if I tell I'm struggling against this desire, I'm having this problem, then people say, I thought you were such a great devotee. You also have such a problem. We think that our image will get spoiled. And that's why, especially if a devotee is successful, sometimes they don't confide about their inner struggles with some devotee who could have helped them. And then the desires become so strong that they get overwhelmed. That's why it is a matter of great fortune. If we can have even one devotee in our life whom we can trust more than we trust our mind. That means what? We look at everyone through our mind. If some devotee suddenly starts speaking sweetly to us, our mind says, this person must want something from me. That's why they're speaking so sweetly to me. So we look at everyone through our mind. But if there is some devotee whom we trust enough, that, rather than looking at that devotee through the mind, we look at the mind through that devotee. Then it's okay. This devotee is saying this, my mind is saying like this. If we have even one devotee like that, it's a matter of great fortune. So what happens by that? The mind offers us a certain take on things. This is like this, this is like this, this is like this. But if we have some devotee whom we trust, then we get an alternative take on things. And then we can actually be saved from what the mind is telling us. So sometimes devotees who are successful become so image conscious that they can't let any devotee know their heart. And that's how they fall. They fall away. And then because the desires are so strong, the craving for pleasure is so great, at that time the mind starts imagining such things. Mind starts feeling, oh, you deprived yourself of pleasure for so long. Now just indulge in it fully. It's like make up for lost time. In that way, yes, people will end up doing terrible things. So if somebody does something like that, then there's an institutional level response, there's an individual level response. At an institutional level, we need to have certain standards. And if somebody has done something which is grievously wrong, then they cannot be in any responsible position or leadership position. But at individual level, we have to see how best we can respond in that situation. Sometimes if the devotee is we have trusted the devotee a lot, then if we try to go close, we will inevitably, our feelings of hurt and betrayal will be so great that we will come off as very judgmental. And we may alienate that devotee further. So the best way we can serve that devotee is by keeping a distance from them. But if we are on friendly terms, then we can avoid the judgmental attitude and just be open to them. What they have done wrong, there's no denying that. But we don't have to let that wrong define them. We don't have to label them for that. We give them an opportunity to come closer to Krishna in as non-judgmental an environment as possible. And then that higher taste of Krishna bhakti always remains. And sooner or later they'll realize, whatever I've done, it's what made me do that? And they'll come to Krishna's lotus feet. So unfortunately, if devotees become extremely judgmental, then that fear keeps them away from Krishna's movement, because they feel, you know, what, they just can't come over there. So we have to protect our community, we have to protect our own faith, our own hurt feelings we have to see, but we have to try to create some space, if we have the capacity to, by which they can also come to Krishna's lotus feet. And that way they can move onwards. But we shouldn't become judgmental, because, you know, we don't know what karmic reactions await us in future. We may think, I'll never do such a thing. I can't even dream of doing such a thing. But, you know, sometimes desires can come in such a way that they may just grip us. So rather than becoming judgmental and thinking, oh, how could they do such a thing? We think that, you know, actually such is the power of Maya, that anybody can be dragged down. So let me stay humble and let me stay fixed in my bhakti to Krishna. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.